Greetings from Thailand. I'm Patiana Moore for Cultivating. As my family and I travel and work around the world, I am privileged to meet extraordinary individuals engaging the needs of the world in unusual and innovative ways. For most of us, travel equals exposure to the world's cuisine. But for those with dietary restrictions, this can be a source of anxiety, especially in areas with unknown resources. And when living abroad, it can be a constant source of frustration and defeat. Recently, I attended a retreat in Thailand where all but one attendee had various dietary restrictions. I was most surprised to discover that the catering company that had been hired was not in fact a company, but one woman. One woman who in her recipes seamlessly met every single need present, and did so without compromising flavor, texture, or experience. From light and sweet cranberry spinach salad to delectable teeny walnut cakes, her culinary creations did more than simply feed those present. With each bite, every person felt seen, known, and welcomed. I'm delighted to introduce you to Tabitha Kent, wife, mother to four beautiful adopted children, cross-cultural worker in Thailand, and a cultivating caterer. Join me as I sit at her table.
So we were talking about the table thing, you know, and that is a very significant thing to me. In partly in a practical way, because we have a big table and we got that so that we could fit a lot of people around it. But after we came back from that furlough where I did that ladies retreat, I felt like I poured out everything that I had, like literally, you know, with the sobbing and the just raw brokenness. And that's what I spoke about, was just the brokenness that I walked through and what the Lord was showing me in it, and how I was seeing Him in the middle of brokenness. And I poured it all out, and then I came back here and I felt empty, like I gave it all, God. There isn't anything left, you know. That it felt like the end of that season, you know. And I'm like, okay, now why am I here? And the Lord really spoke to me about my table. And He said, there's healing at this table. And not necessarily literally, but even figuratively, there's healing at your table. And you need to invite people to the table of the Lord and sit around it. And that's why you're here. And that's what you need to do. And so it was just a very clear word and direction from the Lord that was my place, mm-hmm. that I was to invite people to the table of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And as much as I could, that would be in a very practical way to literally have people at my table, and that we can call upon the Lord in that place, but also just expecting that He's going to come and bring healing in those moments, just because we're being vulnerable, because we're there and He's communing with us, that in His presence there's healing, you know. And so that's been my calling, really, or maybe that's kind of a cheesy word, but yeah, just that there's healing at the table of the Lord. And as I even meditated on that more, I was asking the Lord more about that. It kind of went even more into what we're saying about like the women's ministry stuff, because the Lord was like, you know, just prompting these questions in me about who sits at the table of the Lord, who's across from you, who's beside you, what do you need to leave behind in order to sit at the table of the Lord, what healing is there, and being able to gives me chills still. When we're sitting there, if we recognize this is the table of the Lord, and we see the person across from us, and if we realize and recognize that they're there at the table of the Lord too, then we see them as our sisters or our brothers or our family, and not just, yeah, not just as another missionary or even as just another woman. There's something there when we recognize the sacredness of sitting at the Lord's table, that we somehow can see more from God's perspective at the people around us, and that they're there too, and that they deserve to be there, mm-hmm. just as much as we do, or they don't deserve there to be there just as much as we don't deserve to be there, you know, without the blood of Jesus, right? And that there, when you're there and you can see that and you experience that, there's not competition there. You know, you don't come with all your stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't come with the things that make you better or worse. You let it go and you sit at the table of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know?
Everybody has their own chair. They have their own place tag.
It's their place. Yeah. And literally, like, when you see, like, this is the home, right? Mm-hmm. Of our King, of our God, of our Father, like, I see you differently because we're all here together, and there's something about that, the unity that comes when you have that perspective, that's super powerful, you know, and there's more intimacy there, like, mm-hmm. because that's the thing we share, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of things that are not ever going to be the same and that we might not agree on or whatever, but we can share in that. So there's something key about that. And yeah, I don't have all the answers for it, but just there's something really important about the table of the Lord and being willing to invite other people to that, whether it's in your home or in your life, that we see ourselves as that home, as the carrier of that, right? Mm-hmm. Even as the carrier of this table, that we can come around it and that we see each other as really as brothers and sisters, as family, all in this place together. And
when God gave you kind of that word of you need to welcome people to your table, did he paint a picture of what the culture was at that table? Like a sense of just kind of a, you know, it's not just a random table, but there's something very definitive, something very outlined in that space.
Well, I think purposeful would be the best word, because I don't want to be too, like, structured or inorganic, you know, because it's not about accomplishing a goal. Mm-hmm. It's just about making space for the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I felt like was the understanding from the Lord, is just that to make a space for him to come and bring healing. And so I practically, you know, in just in little ways where I could, amongst all my other, you know, responsibilities, would just begin to invite women over, and we would sit, and I'd usually try to make something beautiful for them to eat, and we would just sit and enjoy it and talk and listen to each other and share and be vulnerable and make space for the Lord to come. And just sometimes just connection brings healing, especially if people feel disconnected or they feel unheard or unseen. And sometimes it's not that you have to have some long drawn out profound conversation about God, but that you see someone and they know that you see them and you listen and they feel like it's safe. You know, creating safety, I think, is really important. And and honesty. I think those are two big things. I guess if we talk about the culture, like a culture of safety and honesty and then pray. You know, I always love to pray for people and, you know, let them leave with a refreshment from the Lord or a word. And, you know, it's not that I have a lot of great grand things that I can do, but the Lord can do things. And it's just making the space for that, allowing the time and the space to invest a little bit and just to bring a word of encouragement to somebody before they leave my house or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that these questions brought up to me. For me, this process kind of started quite a few years ago, maybe 13 years ago. I only had one kid at the time. But I was overwhelmed because I'm a perfectionist, and I wanted to do a lot of things, and I would wake up every morning before my feet even hit the floor, and I felt like a failure. And I mean, morning after morning, I felt the same way. I would wake up and just be like defeated already. Just, I open my eyes and I'm already defeated because I'm behind. I'm behind on this, I'm behind on that. I haven't accomplished this yet. This isn't clean yet. This isn't as good as some other, you know, person who I think has it all together or whatever. And I was constantly comparing myself to what I thought other people could accomplish, other moms could do. And I just felt like I'm failing. And it just was, it's almost paralyzing, and it certainly doesn't doesn't do anything for your heart at all when you feel defeated constantly. And so I went to a women's retreat, and I don't remember anything else about the retreat at all except that they had a one room set aside for people to go and get prayed for, and there was like a little team where someone would pray and the other person would draw whatever picture the Lord would give them. So it was very cool. And so they were praying for me, and this older woman who was just a wonderful woman of God, she was drawing this picture of me or whatever, and I'm sharing about what, you know, I'm feeling, the feeling defeat all the time, and she said the last thing I expected her to say. And it changed my life, like literally it changed my life. But she said, "What if you never catch up?" Yes, exactly that reaction. Because I was like hyperventilating, you know, like, no, that's not an option.
No, not on the table.
That's not what I want you to say. That's not one of the options on the table right now. And no. But I sat with it, and it was so hard, but I felt so much freedom as I leaned into that, because the Lord was saying, this is a lie. This is a lie. This whole you need to catch up, or you're behind, or you're defeated thing is a lie. What if you never catch up? And of course, again, I'm hyperventilating, and I'm thinking, no way. But as the Lord was just, I mean, I don't know how long I sat there, and I don't know what I said on the outside, because of course I'm trying not to be disrespectful. I'd be like, no, go back to the Lord, give me a different word. This is not helpful, you know, but I just had to sit with that and realize, again, this is a lie. I've been living and believing this lie. And the reason I feel defeated is because I've believed a lie of defeat. That tells me that I'm not good enough, that I haven't done enough, that I don't compare or, you know, reach the standard of someone else or whatever. And I realized that catching up is a lie. You know, there's always more to do. There's always something else that could be done better or whatever. And I just needed to walk away from it, to walk away from the lie. And for years, and this was a long time ago, and I still remember it very clearly. I could still feel that little bit of you know, anxiety of like, what if I never catch up? But the Lord has used it many times to remind me, you know, when I get that anxiety of feeling like a failure or whatever, to say, remember, what if you never catch up? Because if we never catch up, is there still a way? Like, can we still feel like we're good enough? Can we still feel like we're worthy enough? Can we still be used? Can we still be lovable? You know, like, I don't think we realize how detrimental it can be to believe that lie, because we don't see how that filters into all of the other little places in our hearts. that then make us isolated or that shut us down or, you know, prevent us from being who we really are. Because again, well, I'm not lovable, or my husband isn't happy with me, or I'm not as good as that person because they seem to be able to do that and I can't. And so I shouldn't talk to them, or I won't let them see this part of my life or whatever. And we close up. And then we're isolated and things just don't. We can't bring glory to God if we're believing lies about who we are. You know, like we can't live in fullness, I guess is a better way to put it. We can't live in fullness if we're believing the lies of defeat. And so a lot of my journey, even where I am now, and even with food, started there, strangely, because it was when I started to walk out of defeat and just finding freedom of being who I was, where I was, and being okay with imperfection, which is really difficult. But finding more peace there. And not that I don't strive to for excellence, but that I'm not a slave to it. And there's a big difference there. And one is freedom and one isn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really key. The other piece of just my story, even with food, is that when I came here, like I felt like I couldn't do anything. Mm. I went from having a little business in the States, you know, I made some food. It was just like once a week I would make stuff and then sell it to people. And it was great. I felt very capable. But then we moved here and I felt like I couldn't do anything. I really felt paralyzed when it came to the kitchen. And I hardly cooked anything. And it felt defeating. But and everything felt foreign. I didn't know where to buy the things that I wanted to have. And even though I have a kitchen, everything just felt strange. And I felt like I lost a big part of myself, you know. And I'm looking at, again, going back to comparing and looking at all these other women. Well, they cook. They have a menu planned out. I mean, I never did a menu in any country. But, you know, I saw this image that probably wasn't even real of other people, that they were able to accomplish all this, and what's wrong with me, and kind of going back to that whole thing again. And then the Lord started to open my eyes to see, you know, you're comparing again, and you just need to be you and be okay with the season that you're in. This is a season. And I think that's another really important thing, is that, you know, even where it comes to me making food, I've had women that have been intimidated by that because they're in a season where they feel like they can't do it. And I don't ever want anybody to feel lesser if they don't make food like I do, because I know exactly what it's like to be on the other side of that and feel like I can't make anything. And that's okay too, you know? And there are seasons that I still can't, where I might go weeks and not make anything, maybe the bare minimum for dinners or whatever, and then make my kids eat cereal a lot or whatever it is to survive. But I'm learning that that's okay. You know, like seasons are okay. And then when I get to a season where I have more capacity, then I'll cook every day and I'll bake all the time. And then I'll go through another season where I can't do anything, and learning to be okay with that and wanting other women to feel okay with that too. Mm-hmm. That if you can, do it. If you can't, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Definitely it was, you know, it's been this process in my heart of being comfortable with who I am and the seasons that God was bringing me through. But as I was kind of, we were here just a year, I think, maybe two, I don't know, a year or two, I was really in a season of, I can't make anything. I don't know how to make anything. I've forgotten how to cook. Like, I was really struggling, and it was my daughter's birthday. This is a key moment for me. It was my daughter's birthday, and I felt like, this is too overwhelming. Like, I made so many cakes in my life, and I just felt like I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to make something for her. And of course, she wants something exciting, not just a plain old cake. she decided she wanted a tie-dye cake, and I was like, shoot me, you know, just, I can't do this. And so I had met this other young missionary lady, only had seen her a couple times, and I was talking about this struggle, and she said, well, I'll make it for you. I'll make a cake for your daughter. And I was like, I, you know, barely know you, and you're offering to make a cake for my daughter for her birthday. And of course, I was so desperate. I wasn't even going to be like, well, no, it's okay. I was just like, are you sure? Okay. You know, because I was really struggling. And she said, yes, yes, I'll do it. And she made a full on, super bold, bright colors, birthday cake for my daughter, and I didn't have to do any of it, and it was so wonderful. But then she took it a step further. She said, I'd like to make dinner for your family. And I'm like, there's a lot of us, you know, there was six at the time, and she was just newly married, no kids. I'm like, you don't understand, it's very different when you're cooking for you and your husband or us, and we eat a lot. Are you sure? And she's like, no, I really want to do this. I'll make this for you and whatever. And she brought over this meal. It was very simple, but it was delicious because of my dietary restrictions too. I can't just like eat anything people bring over. And so it was all stuff that I could eat. And it was amazing. And something about her reaching out to me to not judge me in my difficult season and not intimidate me or do something to make me feel lesser or like I was a failure. She instead stepped into that and said, I'll do this for you, you know, and she made me this dish and I loved it so much. And I said, can you send me this recipe? So she sent me the recipe and something literally shifted in my heart where I said, I can do this. I can do this. This is easy. I can do this. And it was never the same after that. I made that dish and I've made it over and over again since then with different varieties, but something, and I call it Thanksgiving curry because there's so much thankfulness wrapped up in that dish. And it always reminds me how stepping out a little bit into someone else's place of vulnerability and doing whatever little thing we can do to bring encouragement to them or whatever can literally change their lives. And it did for me. I mean, literally getting that recipe and thinking, I could make this. I mean, I knew how to, I'd been cooking for decades already, you know, but I was just stuck and overwhelmed. And I got that recipe and it changed everything. And I started cooking. A lot. Like, all of a sudden, I was cooking and making all kinds of food and desserts. And, you know, again, and there's been ups and downs since then, but it really shifted something in me that said, you don't have to be defeated now. You can do this. You can just take one little step. And I did. And it's one of our favorite meals, too. I adjusted it, and I do it all in one pot because I hate washing dishes. I think this is important to know on the in the area of vulnerability, I hate to wash dishes. So any meal that I can make all in one pot so I don't have to dirty very much is my favorite thing, right? So this is a fun meal that you can do, you know, you can make it your own. It's, you can't really mess it up. You can just, you know, do lots of different things with it. So, but it's Thanksgiving curry because I'm so thankful for someone reaching out to me when I was struggling and not making me feel like I was less or a failure or whatever, but just holding me up. Mm-hmm. And I realized I want to be able to do that for other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd already done a lot of that, but it really like reignited that fire in me that I want to be that breath of fresh air for somebody, because sometimes that's all that's needed. She didn't need to come and hold my hand for a month. Mm-hmm. Or plan out my meals, you know, for a month for every lunch and dinner or whatever. She brought me a meal and gave me the recipe. You know, it was basic. But it was just what I needed because she responded to the Holy Spirit, I believe, to say, okay, they need this meal. You know, she's kind of a wreck. You just go and help her out a little bit, whatever. But she responded to him, and it was just that breath of fresh air that I needed to kind of come out of that place of defeat and overwhelm and be able to take another step forward and kind of shift into a new season. And I just, like I said, I really realize that that's what I want to be for people. And so if it's just to have somebody over and they have a few minutes of a fresh air where someone else makes the food for them, then that's what I'm going to do. If it means sending them a couple recipes because they feel a little stuck or whatever, then that's what I want to do. And sometimes it's a mom that just can't get around to making muffins because her kids are real young and she's exhausted or whatever, and then I make a plate of muffins and I take it over to them. And just some way to say, I see you, and you're important, and the season that you're in is a season, and it's okay, and you're not a failure, you know. And I always, that's my heart, even it, to communicate, which seems like a lot of things to say with a plate of muffins, but that's always my heart. I mean, as many times as I brought things to people, my heart is, I see you, you're valuable, you're important, you're not a failure, and I bless you, you know. It's just a piece of blessing. And when I'm in a space where I can't do that, then I receive or I wait, you know, just being able to wait on the Lord and be okay with that season too. And but when I can, that's what I want to do. Sometimes, you know, we don't put as much value on that stuff, like if it's food related or whatever, but it isn't really about food. I mean, I love food. I love food. And to be honest, I get into making food because I like to eat. And if I can't find what I want, then I have to make it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very motivating for me. I'm a food person. But it's about people feeling seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And it's about that being part of the safe space that I want to create. You know, even Jesus said, I'm preparing a table. Right? Like he's going to prepare a place. And in Psalm 23, and this was, you know, one of the main verses the Lord pulled out to me when he was talking about the table of the Lord, like, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that verse is packed with stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But he's preparing a table, and we are in the presence of our enemies, whether we see it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or acknowledge it or not, mm-hmm. we are. We are in a battle. We are in the presence of our enemies. But the Lord, what does he do? Like, of all things that he could do in the presence of our enemies, he prepares a table for us. Mm-hmm. So I want to sit at it.
And it seems counterintuitive, because when you sit at a table, you're at rest. You're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You're not in the fighting stance.
Right.
But if you're in the presence of your enemy, there must be some other kind of power.
Another presence there.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that's the other piece that the Lord was talking to me about, like the things that we leave behind, what we, you know, what we encounter when we sit there, who else is sitting there? The enemies are around us, but there's something there. Right? I mean, there is. You're exactly right. Like, it's very counterintuitive, but the presence of the Lord is there. Right? And so it's just, whether it's in a piece of artwork or a word of encouragement or whatever it is, or a plate of muffins or a tie-dye birthday cake or whatever it is, we can bring a refreshment and a rest from the Lord to other people through those small interactions. You know, it's just bringing a piece of rest, bringing a piece of a blessing to somebody, a breath of fresh air. A reminder, I see you, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought was very profound at the retreat that I was a part of and that you catered was the fact that all of the ladies there, with the exception of me, had specific dietary needs. I mean, I think every single one of them did. And they were all unique. And I thought what was interesting about the food that you brought was that it, no pun intended, it catered to every single need that was present. And I thought, you know, one of the pieces that these ladies are coming into is a space of being known.
Mm.
That when they eat this food, it's number one, safe, so they can relax, yeah. they can rest, they can just enjoy and be nurtured and nourished. But they, just in taking that single bite of whatever it was, they were known. Their mm-hmm. issues, all of their uniqueness was known, and it was sort of housed inside, contained inside this one
yeah.
morsel.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was one of the things that was really profound to me, was being able to go to a foreign place, a different place that's not your own kitchen, it's not your own table, your own home,
mm-hmm.
and be known. Felt heard and known at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, when I, early on, I had started to make some snack bars and biscotti and things like that, but things really changed when I talked with a friend. She's quite a bit older than me, but she had just been diagnosed with celiac disease. And, you know, she had eaten whatever she wanted all of her life, and suddenly it was a very serious health issue that she had to change everything. And when you have celiac, it's, you know, you have to be so super careful. And she was a little bit lost and limited and whatever. And as she was sharing with me her struggles with trying to find food to eat that was healthy and not really liking vegetables, so not getting a lot of nutrition or whatever, I just had this, like, inspiration wave inside of me that was like, I am going to create something that is safe for you and that is good for you. Mm-hmm. And I did, like, I changed everything that I was doing. I went completely gluten-free with everything that I was making.
For her or just...
Well, because of her, mm-hmm. really, because I wanted to create something for her, but then I realized there are a lot of other people like her.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to focus on that. And so I did. I revamped my protein bar recipe and worked on it for a couple years to perfect something that was completely gluten-free for her, that also gave a lot of protein, that had raw nuts and seeds in it, and that tasted good. And they did. They were awesome. But it was inspired by that need. And so since then, I've been diagnosed with autoimmune disease also. I have Hashimoto's, autoimmune thyroid disease, and I have had to change my diet entirely also. So not only do I have that passion to do this for other people, but I see the importance of it, and I experience it for myself and understand what it's like to go somewhere and feel like you can't eat anything because it's not safe. It's literally dangerous for you. But also, you know, just feeling left out because people don't understand, or just hungry because you can't partake in things or whatever. And I hate that feeling, you know, so I'll often bring food with me or whatever, but I don't want other people to feel that way. And so I always want to make sure that I know and that I'm aware, and that if people are going to be there that have dietary needs for whatever reason, that they feel like they can sit and enjoy too. They don't have to feel separate or different from everybody else, but they can know, okay, this plate is safe and good for me. And yeah.
In four words or less, describe the words presence in this process.
Forget. Celebration, reflection,
oh.
Imperfection. That's a scary one. So when I started cooking again after that incident with the Thanksgiving curry, I started taking pictures of my food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so exciting to me. And they weren't great pictures. I mean, I didn't have a fun camera, and I'm not a photographer or anything, but I just wanted to start taking pictures of my food. And after a while, started like questioning myself, why are you taking pictures of your food? You know, like everybody does that and nobody really cares. And like nobody wants to see what your soup looks like tonight for dinner or whatever. But I was taking pictures anyway. And I realized this wasn't about, again, it's not about the food. It was about celebrating that 2 months prior, I couldn't make anything. And today I can. And, you know, I'm saying that loudly right now because, like, it's so important to me, like, that we celebrate. It's, I guess I started to see, like, my life, my eyes, not just my camera, right, but my eyes capture memories. My eyes capture reality. And it will hold on to whatever I tell it to. Mm-hmm. My eyes will capture what I tell them to. So I can either look at the fact that I haven't done my dishes, or my bed isn't made, or my kids are screaming, or whatever. And not that we deny the reality of those things, but do we need to capture them? Do we need to focus on that and highlight that? Or can we capture the things in our lives where there's victory, where there is something worth celebrating? You know, can we practice Thanksgiving? Can we practice celebration? And so for me, taking the pictures was just a way to remind myself that God brought me through a difficult season and that He's going to do it again. And I would take the pictures and be like, this is something beautiful that is worth celebrating. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a bowl of soup. And I realized I wanted to celebrate.
And needed to.
Yeah. I needed to celebrate the work of my hands, not because I accomplished something, but because it represented the healing the Lord had done in my life.
It seemed like these pictures are kind of your Ebenezer stones.
Yeah.
You know, these monuments of God's faithfulness and provision, but guidance and victory in your journey with Him.
Yes, for sure. And then on top of that, realizing that the Lord wants us to walk in a practice of thankfulness and celebration. And so whether it's through nature or through art or whatever, for me, capturing the beauty in food is just, again, my way to say, God, look at this stuff that You made. Like, I'm going to celebrate this. I'm thankful for this, you know, and just finding beauty in what really is the ordinary. You know, it's our sustenance. It's not even anything extra. Like, we have to eat right, but finding beauty even in that is just a way to, like, cultivate thankfulness in my heart. And it's helpful to practice, like, seeing beauty. Like, this is beautiful. This is a celebration. This represents freedom. This represents growth. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so it's more for me than it is for anybody else. But what I also realized is that sometimes when I would post pictures, it would help people. Like, with a recipe or just with an encouragement or whatever, like, because I realized, again, like with the story of my friend that brought the Thanksgiving curry, that little thing was an inspiration for me to, like, be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so that people would respond to me sometimes and say, oh, that's really inspiring, da 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 da. And I would realize this can be just this extension of the blessing that was given to me, that I can bless someone else just with a recipe or with a picture that says, this is easy. You can do this today, you know? And if I can just give that just a little bit of a boost to someone. And I don't ever want women to see my stuff and think, oh, I could never do that. Well, she can only do that because, or there ever to be like a competition or a comparison or whatever. Because I've posted a picture of my disgusting kitchen too. But I did that intentionally to say, like, we're all real here. And sometimes things suck. And sometimes it's a disaster. And what you see in the picture, and I think this is important to remember in women's relationships and even finding community and finding rest in community, is that what you see in that beautiful picture of that piece of cake is not the whole story. And I don't always post those pictures because, again, I want to capture beauty and I want to capture celebration. But it's the things that are not beautiful that really helped me get there, right? And I'm okay with those too. And I want people to know that. And I think that we should all be okay with people knowing that about us, because there isn't some grand thing that I've achieved to be able to make a perfect piece of cake. I just tried a lot of times, and this one happened to look good. You know, the rest of them are in the trash, or I'm feeding them to my kids because they don't care. You know, like, there's a lot more besides just that picture, and remembering that about other people too, I think helps limit this live comparison, you know, that we have, that they're better or whatever, or, you know, to not reach out for whatever reasons. Like, people have their stories too, and sometimes we just need to show each other broken pieces of cookies or cake or whatever, you know? We need to be okay with that. For me, it was helping me reflect back on what the Lord had done. But even now, I'll look through my pictures sometimes to remind me, yeah, I did that. Like, it encourages me to keep going when I feel stuck. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the imperfection piece. I think it's just, we are perfectly imperfect. And I think it's so important to be okay with that and allow other people that place too. Because that, and I've experienced this profoundly over and over again, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I know we've made that into like this cliche, meaningless, almost Christianese thing. But it is so true. It is so true. And I think the times that we're not experiencing the Lord's strength is when we're trying to be perfect. We're not experiencing the strength of the Lord. It's because we're trying to be perfect. Because we can only experience it, if that verse is true, we can only experience it in our weakness. So when we're trying to be someone we're not, or do something that we can't do, or we're striving for something that God isn't asking us to do, or we're just trying to do all those things in our own strength, we're not going to experience his strength in our lives, his perfect strength in our lives, right? And so it can be terrifying, because the level of vulnerability that's involved in that is terrifying, but that's what he's called us to do. He called us to be holy, but he doesn't expect us to be perfect. And there's a big difference in that, because our holiness comes from him. It doesn't come from our perfection. Something about that word is really important, and it's part of the process for me is, yeah, there really can't be the presence of the Lord like I want it to be. And in my life and through my life and through what I do, whether it's through a cookie or a conversation or evangelism or whatever it is, if I'm not willing to lay down my need for perfection, or if I'm not willing to be vulnerable and let all the pieces show. Again, I saw the change that I made in my own life just for someone to bring me a meal for my family, right? And so I do. I think that when we step outside of our door, even, that can be spiritual warfare. Just stepping outside, stepping into someone else's life, being willing to see them and offer a piece of ourselves to them, like, that is just so much the heart of God, right? I mean, that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it breaks down barriers. You know, and I think amongst us as women, we tend to have a lot of those things. Really? Like, we have a lot of those walls up for whatever reasons, and they won't go down if we don't knock them down or cross over the line, right? Like, sometimes us just coming over to the other side helps the other person feel like, oh, they can let their walls down, you know? And we can't build the unity unless we have the community, and we can't have community if we don't do something to open ourselves up to other people. And for me, that way to do that has often been through food. There are different ways that God can do that, but for me, it's through food, and it's a way to, again, make a safe space to open the doors and ask the Lord to come and do what he wants to do. And I very much think that's a spiritual warfare. I mean, it's an act of standing in truth. It's an act of coming into agreement with the will of God for us as his people, as his church, to come into unity with each other. I think it's an act of intercession sometimes, of standing in the gap for people, even in that, you know, very hands-on way of saying, you have a gap where you can't make meals right now, so I'm bringing you something, or whatever. Like, we can, and even how that can reach out into our communities wherever we're serving. If you think about how that could work, even in evangelism, or, you know, whether you live in America or anywhere else, everybody eats.
Sure.
Right. Everybody needs to eat. And so if you can kind of bring the walls down or break the ice, you know, in a way, by just saying, I see you, and it's a little piece of my home to a little piece of your home. Sometimes that can be really significant. And I just try to keep open to the Holy Spirit about it. You know, there are times where I really feel in my heart like I need to go bring this to somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just do it because I don't know what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to know, but I feel silly sometimes. I'm, you know, literally walking down the street carrying this plate of muffins or whatever, and I'm like, well, this is what I'm bringing. So, maybe someone just died and this is all I have. It doesn't feel like it's that significant, but I'm walking in obedience. And so I can trust and believe and know the Lord is wanting to bring a little bit of encouragement to them somehow, or whatever it is, that's what I have to offer, you know? And if I can offer prayer and encouragement, I do that too. But sometimes the Lord is just like, bring them brownies or whatever, and then I believe him, you know?
And living cross-culturally, you mentioned that, you know, this is kind of the common thing, everybody needs to eat. When you're living in a foreign country and ingredients are hard to find, especially really specific ingredients, how do you plow through that to do what you do?
Well, it's taken time, for one thing, for sure. I've had to get creative with how I find things, but even more so, I've had to get creative with how I make things. So I've had to make a lot of adjustments. First, for the dietary restrictions, because I do gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free, a lot of egg-free, and no refined sugar, and dealing with an oven that doesn't always work properly, and, you know, whatever. But, I'm already quite restricted. But then, if I can't find what I need, then I have to alter a little bit more. It just takes time and practice to make it work for this country. But I feel like it's worth it, because in the end, you know, I have something that's delicious, or something that I throw away. You never know. I've done both. Yeah, it's taken time. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm. And for the people that are living here overseas that have these specific dietary issues, you know, the challenge is huge for them to find things. How do you feel that you plowing through that? Do you feel like it makes a path for them, or it makes a way for them, because they're struggling to find those things?
Yeah, definitely. And I think people have plowed the way ahead of me too. Mm-hmm. And you know, others that have been here longer or that have come and gone, and, you know, everybody's sharing their information. I think it's really important that we support each other in that way, because there were things that I didn't know. I still don't know. I'm still learning. And then I always share with new people coming in, especially if I hear that they have a special diet or whatever, to share all the tricks that I've learned, or the places that I go or that I order from, because I want us all to feel empowered, and I remember how it felt to be really overwhelmed with my diet, and I still feel that way sometimes, you know. And so I think it's important for us to encourage each other, share the information, you know, plow the way as others have done, and as we keep going. I mean, the resources available here are much better than they used to be, and as people talk about it, then it's not just about resources, it's about a community of people that have an understanding with each other too, that and have a camaraderie there of wanting to provide healthy food for their families, and encouraging each other in that.
So as you've kind of, as this process and ministry and practice of intentionality has unfolded for you over the last however many years, how have you seen yourself kind of coming into alignment and partnering with the Lord in that process? Because as I hear you talking, it's really not you just going on your own crusade, doing things. It's very much a partnership with you and the Lord. And so how do you feel like he's kind of drawn you into kind of his story, and also kind of brought you into a deeper alignment with him in walking these things out?
Well, I feel like it's, you know, not like some, like a clear writing in the sky kind of thing. It's really been about my own journey. I mean, it's been a very personal thing for me. I've gone through waves where I didn't make any food for other people, and then I made a lot of food for other people, but it's always been because that's what God was doing in my life. You know, the journey that he was bringing me on and what he was teaching me along the way. Like, I think just seeing his heart for other people. You know, some people may not feel like food is a very valid ministry. Like, it's not that important or that effective or whatever. But I've just always felt like, again, everybody eats, but like the Lord is just saying, this is your way, and I want to encourage people through you, and sometimes you can do it like this. I think for me, it's always been about bringing a breath of fresh air to people, you know, just as people have given that to me, that I want to do that for somebody else and give them a moment of rest, to just because it's something yummy and sweet, or because they didn't have to make it, or because it happened to be their favorite thing and I didn't even know it, but the Lord told me, you know. It just has been literally about the Lord healing me, teaching me, giving, you know, working in the brokenness in my own heart, and in that process of healing, him saying that I want you to offer a piece of this to other people too, you know? I want other people to taste rest too. I want other people to have a taste of what it is to be known and seen, and through food, you know? It's still, saying that kind of feels a little bit strange, but at the same time, it doesn't at all. Like, it just makes so much sense to me because that's who God made me to be. And I don't see separate things like me doing it on my own versus doing it with the Lord. I feel like this is who he made me, you know? And there are seasons I've had to lay it down. When we adopted our three younger kids, it was just really crazy for a while. And I had to lay it all down. And I stopped making my protein bars and really didn't do anything for a while, because I needed to focus on my kids. But then as I was able to pick that back up, the Lord again was like, okay, now use this as an encouragement for other people again. And yeah, I don't feel like it's ever really been like my own thing. It is not even that I really love to cook. That's weird. But I get inspired by people's stories. I think that's what it is when I hear a need. You know, I've talked to people around here that have said, oh, you know, my son, he can't have this and this and this, and he goes to parties, and he can't, you know, can't have any of the cake or whatever, and so I'd love for him to have this thing that he can take with him so that he has some treat to eat while he's there. And I'm like, I'm making something right now, you know? Like, I get inspired because I want people to feel loved. I want them to again, be seen and heard, and to for them to be able to celebrate and enjoy the things that God made here on the earth, even within their given restrictions. And so that gives me more motivation than anything. Not because I love being in my kitchen, although I do love the creative part of it sometimes. But I could make dessert all day and never make a dinner because I really don't enjoy that very much. But I'm inspired by the needs and by being able to bless somebody by, meeting a very practical need for them. And I've, and in the community of people that I know that have health issues and have food restrictions or whatever, that need for food is even greater in the sense that it's harder to, it's just not as easy. It's not as easy to make things. It's not as easy to be a part of things that involve food because of the restrictions. And so that's inspiring to me to want to move, you know, to create on behalf of those people. He makes a way. And sometimes, again, like I think that's really connected to the idea of there being seasons, but believing in God's provision through our seasons helps me to rest in those places when it's maybe not as fun of a season or it's not as productive or as food filled or whatever. Just remembering, like, God makes a way. He makes a way. He's making a way. Even right now when I haven't had a lot of great lunches to send with my kids to school because I haven't been cooking very much or whatever, like, I'm resting. I still feel like I'm resting because I'm not remembering, like, or focusing or capturing the reality of my failures or whatever, but that I'm saying God is still good. He's making a way. He's taking care of my kids. This is a season. Things are not always going to be like this. You know, and it's not just like this self-talk to, you know, get to feel better for a minute, but it really is being able to lean into the presence of God and to lean into the character of God and let my identity flow from that place rather than fear or defeat or comparison or anything else, but just or worry even about the future, but like, this is a season. God provides. And I think even wanting my food that I make for other people to be a reminder of that for them too. Like, if they have a special need, like I started making bagels recently, and people that have food restrictions that just haven't been able to eat bagels in a long time, including myself, you know, like, God provides. He sees that little thing that really isn't that important, but is, you know, or he's into the details. And like, again, times that I've showed up with food for people or whatever, and they've said, oh, I was just wanting that, or I was just thinking about that, or this, you know, whatever, like, it's just saying, God, it's not that I see you. It's that God sees you. He sees you and he hears you. And it's just, because whether I see people or not really is small. You know, it's not that significant. But just to say, God sees you. And this little thing that he heard you in your heart saying, I sure wish I had some of that. I didn't know that, but he knew that. And he sees you and he heard you. And here you are. And this is God's provision for you. Because you are important to him and you matter to him. Mm-hmm. What you want to eat right now matters to him, mm-hmm. You know? And it's a reminder of sustenance, spiritually and physically, you know? Like, the provision, God is there. He's providing. He's filling us. He's making a way. And mm-hmm. Yeah. My heart for women to not live in that lie of defeat, I think, is just really important. Yeah, it's really suffocating. It can suffocate our marriages, our connections with our kids, our connection with other people, and it's a lie. And so maybe I want to end on the question that was asked to me. What if you never catch up?
Thank you for joining me at Tabitha's Table. I pray you are as encouraged, challenged, and inspired as I am. And if you are, please feel free to leave a note in the comments below and be sure to pass along Tabitha's story by sharing this link with your friends. Keep cultivating.